Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. Hey, do you remember the neighbour of mine who had a Fiat Marea weekend?
Oh, yeah.
We spoke about this well over a year ago.
Yeah.
Could be 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not massively interesting. In fact, it's probably the ultimate rare but nobody cares car.
Hmm.
Well, it disappeared, and I think I did tell you that they'd got a Fiat Idea instead.
You did tell me that, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I've gone past their house this morning, and there's a spare Idea on axle stands with loads of bits removed from it.
Seriously?
Yes.
With loads of bits removed?
Yeah, loads of bits off it, and you know it's just a carcass. It's a complete donor thing. And it's being pecked for whatever is necessary to keep the other Idea going. And I can't stop giggling about it because it's not. I remember it not being a very special or good car anyway. It's basically not as good as a Panda at all, is it?
It's a little bigger, but yes, it's not as good as a Panda. Somehow, it's just not
as good as a Panda.
Nowhere near as likeable.
No. So yeah, they now have a spare Idea.
Evening, dear. How was your day? Well, I got a good Idea. Yeah, what was it? No, seriously, it's outside. I'm going to pick it for parts.
It's really good. Yeah, in fact, it's better than our other Idea. So let's take our other Idea apart
and
make the other Idea better.
Over our previous Idea.
Yeah.
I've got a new Idea. Speaking of cars that have been picked over, I was on the train last week going to London, and I saw in a farm, sort of, you know, typically a farm, a sort of properly isolated
I'm aware
farm.
Of a to, farm. Yes, a farm.
Yes, I'm about to mansplain the idea of a farm to you. You know what I mean? You get the farmhouse, and then you probably have some buildings nearby, and then there's quite often a sort of non-specific area of open ground that's not really a field because it's not got anything growing or grazing in it. And it's where the farmer will typically dump a car that he no longer needs.
It's dumping ground. Or there's usually an ex-military trailer that
yes.
was gifted at some point, like a bad debt.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw fleetingly from a speeding train in the area where the farmer dumps shit that he's not really good. There might be some massive fronds of barbed wire there as well, just dumped and next to the trailer. And there was quite a tidy looking Discovery 4.
Oh.
And it has got no lights. Like the back and seemingly the headlights had been removed. And I couldn't work out what was going on, because otherwise, and obviously this was a fleeting glance, but the car looked quite tidy, and I can't remember where it was. I meant to actually look up on my phone using maps where we were at the time.
The next time
I was passing, I could have a good look, but
I've done this before.
I missed it.
I did this on a steam train, so going slower, and obviously a shorter track. I did an emergency pin drop. And I sent the pin drop to my dad, who cycles the area, or did. Dad, you need to start cycling again. And he then started looking for it, and he did find it. It was an Austin Healey Sprite in a hedge. And, yeah, it was. You don't see them very often, certainly not in hedges. The frog-eye shite, as my brother calls them. That's a little bit unfair.
Aww,
yes.
They're nice.
Yes, Greg's just being a sprite racist. But, yeah, it was in a hedge. But, yeah, really, that's one thing that the pin drop and the Google Street View is really good for. It's for dereliction or cars you've seen that you're drawn to. Sometimes I go... That person must live there because I've seen that car a few times. I must write to them and just say, hey, seen your car around. Don't suppose if you ever want to sell it, you give me a call. Something like that, yeah. That's not creepy, ideally. And I keep meaning to do that. But yeah, so it's a really, really good... It's one of my only good pieces of advice for 2024, actually, is pin drop when you see an interesting car that's parked or dumped or something. Do you know what I did? I did something to my Honda Element that I thought was going to really help it, and it's made everything worse. And I'm now massively pissed off with myself because I've got no one else to be pissed off at. You know when you check
you
your fluids...
You added some parts from a Fiat Idea to it.
Yes, that's exactly what I did. Yeah. I wish I had. It probably would have made matters better. I did my fluids check and I thought, power steering looks like it could do with a little bit. And the power steering, I'd noticed first thing in the morning, had made quite a loud noise. And I don't know if it's the actual power steering or one of the idler pulleys bearings. So I thought, I'll just top it up. Only needs about a centimetre of oil. Rummaged around in the garage. I found some ATF 3000, looked at the label, looked it up on Google, and went, oh, yeah, this stuff's normally pretty good for power steering. Uh-huh. As I was lifting up the lid, it says on the top, only use Honda's special potion that nobody knows about. Yes, don't use anybody else's.
Made from grated turtles.
Honestly, made from rhino bones, and nobody else knows the formula, which is why it's only Honda.
And fairy piss. Yes. It costs £900 a litre, yeah.
Now, obviously, I'm not saying that Honda's grind up rhino bones at all, but so I put like a centimetre of this stuff in. Honestly, more than a centimetre, so maybe a tenth of the reservoir at the very, very, very most.
Yeah.
Back up to max. It said to check it when it was cold, just in case listeners are shouting at me. Do you know what it's done?
I tried to think.
It's made the power steering in order. It's so loud. You can't hear the engine at all. And when I'm manoeuvring out of my drive, it sounds like the power steering pump's going to burst out from the bonnet. So I've basically done something terrible and I've got to drain it out.
But I mean, what's so bad about what you put in? How far away is it from the spec that it demands?
I don't know.
Because I can't believe there's that much variance. I'm sure some of our very clever listeners who work in the car industry will be writing in to explain that actually there's massive differences in viscosity or something, but it doesn't feel like there could be that much difference that it would really upset the pump.
Especially that level of dilution. And I'm really annoyed at myself because I thought I was going to improve something by being vigilant.
Unless it's coincidence that it was sort of on its way to making a right old racket and you just happened to... maybe you've just given it... I don't know. I don't know.
For the benefit, I'm sure other listeners have done this where they think they're doing something right and helping the car along with some worship and they've done something wrong. And I'm really annoyed because that now adds another thing to the list. I basically want to push the Element at a lovely garage that understand Hondas of that era and go, can you just do everything? And can it just come back to me with everything just perfect? Because I love that car, but I've reached a point where there's just now five things that I need to do, and I'm running out of time and stuff. Although to be fair, I've got a new latch. I've got a new latch, a B pillar latch. You know, it doesn't have a B pillar.
Oh, so that's sorted.
I've got a new latch. It came from Lithuania from a car being broken for spares, and I need to fit it. I'm hopefully going to fit it this week. At the same time, this week actually. As listeners are listening to this, it will have already happened. My bargain Boxster, my ghetto Boxster, will have had a new ECU module thing. When I say new, second-hand, but kind of brainwashed into thinking it's still the original one.
Now, this is interesting because I went to the Sunday Scramble at Bicester Heritage the other weekend.
Bisexual Heritage?
Yes, and I was approached by two people independently, who both informed me that they were shortly to go to your place to fix one of your cars.
Really?
Yeah. There's the guy who's going to sort out your Insight who...
Mark.
Mark, yes, Mark. And then Dave Mole, the excellent Birmingham car keys chap who sorted me out with new Panda keys and Range Rover keys last year.
Yeah.
And I saw him and he said, oh, I've got to see Johnny to sort out his Boxster. So I was like, how many people at this event are in some way now linked to one of your malfunctioning fleet of cars?
Johnny's broken fleet. I know.
Yeah.
That is the only two. I'm pretty sure that's the only two. But Birmingham Car Keys Dave did sort out my Element with its rogue JDM yes. immobiliser system. And that's been good
stuff. Actually, there was another chap who came out to me. He'd got a sniff of something else that you've got that you haven't even revealed yet.
Oh.
And I had to inform him that it wasn't entirely working necessarily, but it would be at some point. And
but he knew, didn't he? He knew what it was.
I don't know how he'd got. Have you been dropping hints somewhere about some of this other stuff that you've yet to?
If he's a Patreon, patron of mine, not Smith and Sniff's, of the Late Break Show, I revealed to them what I had acquired.
Ah.
So he could have been a one.
I don't know that he is, because he seems, maybe someone had told him, and they probably would have told him, because he admitted to me he is a massive fan of the manufacturer of this car.
Okay, you're being so technical.
Had one as his first car.
Did he?
So it's sort of, yeah. And he, so it's sort of right up his street. So you could imagine somebody would go, oh, you like these. Hey, guess who seems to have got one? That would figure. I don't know. I didn't actually ask how he knew. But anyway, you've got at least one person on the edge of their seat waiting for the reveal.
I'm excited about that. That requires, I've got a plan coming together about that car. It does run and it sort of drives around a yard. I haven't taken it out on the open road or anything daft like that yet. But
because presumably it hasn't got a mot, so you need to get that.
There's no mot on that. Well, there's no air in one of the tyres either, because it won't hold.
Oh, right. So I think that's a fail generally, but an easy fix.
I've driven it round a yard with a flat tyre from one building to another, and I feel very cruel driving a car on a totally flat tyre.
Oh, it's horrible,
I couldn't get air into it. It's obviously slit the sidewall or something. And I did feel
so it's a proper frigged.
I think it's a knackered tyre. But I did feel like I was punishing it. Especially a cold, cold start pull away with a totally flaccid tyre. It requires a little bit more energy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It feels like you're sort of trying to escape from a patch of glue, and then it's that horrible sort of sweaty sound of the tyre running flat against tarmac.
Sweaty.
You know what I mean? It's a damp sound, isn't it? It's just, I don't like it. I particularly don't like it when you just see a car go past in the street and it's running on a very low or flat tyre, and you just go, what are you doing? Are you even aware that this is going on?
Well, I ran after one of those, waving my arms to try and slow them down, because I don't think they realised. And they carried on. They thought I was a madman.
God.
They thought I was a...
I saw it once in a Daihatsu Charade, and trying to leave a slightly uphill junction with a very flat front tyre, and then they gave it some beans to try and make a getaway, and the rim actually spun within the tyre.
Oh, did it?
The tyre was so flat.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I didn't say anything, because I was like, I think you just need to be the captain of your own fuckwittery here. I'm not going to interfere.
No, they need to steer that ship, don't they?
Speaking on the highly interesting topic of tyres, I said I let some air out of the tyres on my new Tesla because the ride's a bit chunky.
Sorry, so go close to the mic when you can go, Tesla. Is it a 2024? Tesla. 2023 Tesla.
A 24. It's a 24. I got a 24. 24 Tesla.
It doesn't make any difference because they all look the same anyway. Stop it. Go away.
I was saying to someone at the Scramble, because I was talking to loads of people. Thank you to everyone who came over at the Scramble, by the way. All the Smith and Snifflists who came to say hi gave me the agreed code word to get a free sticker, but also just people who wanted to have a little bit of a chat. I met some really interesting and really nice people. And I was talking to a few people about my new car, because, people were going, oh, this was before the last podcast came out, which explained what I'd just got.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to people. I told them what I'd got. And then one of them said, you could join Quentin Wilson at the Tesla concourse.
What? Tesla
yeah.
Concorde.
There's one. Yeah, apparently there's one for like Model 3s and Model Ys. It's like they're all the bloody same. They only come in like four colours or something as well. Like, what's interesting to look at? It's almost as bad as when you see like a Ford Racing Puma owners club meeting and they're all just there in their absolutely identical cars. Or Rover 200 BRMs, the other ones.
Oh, just yeah. They're all the same, aren't they?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. I rather like the Rover 200 BRM and the Ford Racing Puma. But unless you've modified it, which would increasingly, particularly with the Puma, probably be frowned upon because they're quite collectible, I suppose, then they're all exactly the same. Same colour, same trim, same spec. There's no variation. They came as they are. So, but yeah, I did the fiddle with my tyre pressures on my Tesla. Or, one of our listeners who left a comment on our YouTube page, he calls, his username is Trendy Flute. he said he pronounces Tesla as Tulsa because he thinks it's funny. And us,
Tulsa.
I might start doing that as well. Only 24 hours to Tesla. So it's like the factory spec I was saying last week is 42. It seems a bit hard, but there's reasons for that. So I think you've got plenty of leeway to adjust downwards a little bit to soften off the edges of the ride. So I took it down to 38 and it's fine. And it has just made it a little bit better. And I don't think it's completely knackered the range, but it's got tyre pressure sensors, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's no way to reset them.
What?
You know, a lot of cars, when you adjust the tyre pressures, you then push a button or something to tell the car, these are the pressures I would like to be considered to be correct.
Yes.
And looking this up, it seems there used to be a button on the touchscreen to reset them, and somehow, in their wisdom, Tesla got rid of it with a software update because the car is just supposed to know. But the car doesn't know, because now the car thinks it should be 42. And it's 38, so there's just the tyre pressure warnings on all the time.
Constantly. Oh, that sounds great, Rich. I can't wait to go on a long journey.
I don't know. Well, I'm saying this in the hope that there's someone listening who knows a way around this, because I did read up online and I saw someone saying, oh, no, it's fine. Because it seems like a lot of people sort of reduce the pressures a bit just because they'll happily take a little bit of a drop in range for a slightly better ride. And the car is supposed to learn that this is all right, but somehow it hasn't. Well, mine hasn't, and I've done quite a few miles in it since, and it's just still going, nah, mate, need a bit more air in these. So I don't know whether to go and just, like, put a tiny bit more air in and see if it tricks.
You're becoming obsessed with PSI.
I am a little bit anyway. I used to knob around with PSI. My Ford Ka was sort of quite sensitive to tyre pressures, and I became a little bit obsessive about keeping them in check and then sort of adding a little bit more or taking a little bit away to see what it did to the handling.
Do you have an old school tyre pressure gauge that keeps the needle on the pressure when you take it off, a bit like a referee's stopwatch?
I wish I did.
You need to get one. They're brilliant.
I don't trust those petrol station ones to be entirely accurate.
No.
So I've got a foot pump and I've got a little electronic one.
Yeah.
But the batteries have just gone in it. So
go OG, go analog needle. I was actually having this conversation with, in fact, he phoned me from the fuel station, radio's Greg James in his M5. He said, do you know what? Do you know what tyre pressure's this car should be? And I went, no, I don't, I'm afraid. But yes. I can help you find out. And then he went, and then I went, oh, are you at a fuel station? He went, yeah. I went, you might, the pressure gauge might not be accurate. And I went, what I tend to do, Greg, is I would probably, in a car like that, I'd probably keep a cheeky little analog gauge in the glove box so you can just double reference it. And I went, and I paused and I said, this sounds really Partridge, but I do mean it. And he went, no, I'm going to do that. I like it.
Do you know what's annoying about the little digital gauge I've got is that the batteries went. I was like, that's all right. I'll just pop a couple of whatevers, because it's quite a big one. So I was like, probably it's got a couple of AAAs in there. No, it's got two of those farty little, you know, not
flat
watch batteries, but they're not the super flat ones. They're the ones that almost, they're like sort of, I don't know.
They look like vitamin C tablets. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. They look like that. They're sort of dangerously similar to something you could eat, which is why children and dogs are always eating them and having to go to hospital.
But, great. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs two of those. I mean, no one has those in the house, do they? They're just sort of too obscure.
No, they're... And you have to buy a whole variety pack down at my local hardware store to get...
Oh, really?
To get those, you have to buy, like, variety 17 pack. Others. Honestly,
what did you get for Christmas? Oh, I got a selection box of small batteries.
Yeah, they do generic small fiddly battery variety packs. So you just... Because you know what's going to happen is you'll bring the wrong ones home and you'll go, oh, for goodness sake, I've gone and bought the wrong fecking ones. So, yeah, you just buy a variety pack, and then you got loads, and you go around your house like me going, what else can I replace with fresh batteries?
Yeah.
To change the subject slightly, someone's been attempting to scam me recently, but they're just... Their game
is
not... Is
it the Honda Corporation of Japan?
No, yeah. It's their game is weak. Can I just say this? The temptation is there, but ultimately the game is weak. I've had three emails, and all of them say Amphi car for sale in the title.
Oh.
And I've gone, oh, Amphicar.
That feels like a very targeted scam, though, because they...
How niche is an Amphicar? I mean, like, most people don't even know what they are. So,
also, how much do you want an Amphicar?
Well, I nearly bought an Amphicar once back when they were cheap.
There we go.
And I'm annoyed with myself because now they're not cheap because a lot of wealthy collectors
are they not?
Novel. No, like $100,000 now.
What?
Yeah, I could have bought a fully functioning good one for like 5.5. They're now 100, something like that.
No, I had no idea.
Well, now you bloody do. Have you seen how much original PL bubble cars are?
Oh, I feel partly responsible for that. Is that because of the Top Gear effect?
Yeah, of course it is, because young people know about a car that they otherwise wouldn't have done, which is good because it means it's now... sort of rooted in folklore, I suppose. Well over 100.
Arse trousers. There's an Amphicar here for sale in the Netherlands for €89,000.
Yeah, you know, for the going down the canal and the... And the lakes.
So actually, yes, I bet the Netherlands is a good place to have a...
It's probably...
An Amphicar, but...
I'd like one in the Netherlands.
It's got 22,000 kilometres on it, so I would say that's quite leggy for an Amphicar, because I gather they weren't particularly nice to drive, were they? A bit... I was going to say boaty, but no pun intended, but they've got a terrible sort of... They're quite heavy, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. They're also a bit underpowered, what with the Triumph Herald wheezy 1200cc motor. Yeah. But they were German, weren't they? They're a weird concoction. German using British running gear.
I know.
Does anybody who listens to this, anybody got an Amphicar? Has anyone genuinely got a Barnfine Amphicar? Because I would come and play with it. But this
boat shed find...
Hello, Surely. This person, Rene. Hello, all original refurbished Amphicar for sale. It drives and it also swims. It's the same car in white before being repainted in red. See pictures. I've got three pictures of one driving into what looks like the ocean. I will assist with shipping arrangements from here, Uganda, to anywhere. Pay a commitment by PayPal to someone in Europe, in brackets, protected by PayPal guarantee, to start the export process, and then payment on arrival of car. Any questions are welcome. Thank you. Bye.
That's so... But,
I know, this is the second one.
I would
one.
Say that most people would go, well, I'm simply not interested in an Amphicar. It's not, oh, I've got $1 million I need to get rid of, or here, I've got a PlayStation 5. That's so specific. It feels a bit eerie that they know you.
I know.
That's not a bot just throwing it out there to millions of people in the hope one bites. That's somebody targeting you personally, surely.
I know. Innit?
Well, that's weird. And they've tried this three times.
This is the third attempt now. It's just come through about half an hour before we started recording this stupid podcast. And they're thinking, I'm not going to stoop to their level. I'm not interested in Amphicar. Although I read it really quickly at first and I went, okay. I actually responded to the first one. I went, okay, talk to me. Money. What's the price? And I think they went, well, wouldn't you like to know some more details about it? I'm like, no, I just want to know the price and how would you go about shipping it? And I'd say, oh, and is it complete with all this, with this power takeoff and propeller situation? I think they were like, oh, gosh, he knows.
Oh, shit. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe you could turn the situation onto them by just bombarding them with really detailed questions about Amphicars until they give up
scamming
business altogether.
Should I just be a good Amphicar Samaritan and say, I'm an authority on Amphicars and I'm retired and quite wealthy. Can I fly to Uganda and mend it for you? and then help you sell it.
Please give me your address. I'm on my way.
Yeah, and I'll be like, oh, shit. No, no, seriously, well, while I'm there, I'm going to do some charity work. So maybe I'll do it in the amphi car.
I think mending an amphi car might almost count as charity work. Certainly putting some good into the world. Because it's quite... Have you ever seen an amphi car in real life, like on the water?
Yeah, I think many moons ago on this, off of this video or podcast. Yeah, I've only ever been to the Villa d'Este once, Concours. And there was a dude that turned up off of Lake Como, isn't it? Is it in Lake Como? Lake Comover. Yes. And Lake Comover. He turned up in it, and it went in really easily, but it took a while to get out, because if there's a little bit of a bow wave from another boat going by, it can't quite scrabble up the slipway. Algal Slipway, which is a great support band that I might have seen at some point.
Was there horrendous clutch slipping going on?
Do you know what? I noticed some blue smoke coming out from the bonnet, not the exhaust, and I thought, don't like that. And they were wearing straw boaters and like really beautifully pressed shirts, and I just thought to myself,
oh, I bet they were.
That car's going to shit itself if it doesn't come out the ocean in a minute. Not the ocean, the lake.
Were they red? I mean, they wouldn't be red trousers at Villa Testi, would they? They'd be sort of probably linen trousers, light linen trouser.
The Villa Testi? Is it where the... Is it stand up to cancer event?
Yes, that is. It's a very good message they're putting out there.
Yeah. Well, it was. It was a great show. Sweet, sweet show. It's where I got to see Ralph Lauren's Mercedes, that pre-war amazing Mercedes. Is it the the SSK?
Mm. That was. Did this win Pebble Dash Beach?
I think it did. Yeah, I mean, this was a while ago now when I was filming for Fifth Gear.
In fact,
it was many moons ago because I think the Phantom was still quite new then.
Speaking of dressing like an arsewit for a car-based event, the day before I went to the Scramble, I bought myself a flat cap.
Oh,
because I've decided I'm of an age. I know you've got a flat cap because you sent me that picture of you driving that Bentley, in it.
Bentley.
And that was partly what I was like. That's a good look, actually. I like that. I think I am now. I am a middle-aged man. It's time for a flat cap.
I think so. There's always a place in your wardrobe for it.
Yeah, well, that's it. I didn't used to be a particular hat person, but as I get older, I've just gone, fuck it, I can wear hats. So, but I thought I need a smart cap. It's also practically, I was thinking it's going to be a bit chilly up in Bicester tomorrow, and I don't want to wear a baseball cap or a woolly hat necessarily. I need something that's a bit smarter.
So what about a Smith and Sniff beanie?
Well, I don't have one, do I? Because you've got the all the merch is dispatched from your centre of operations, and I forgot to take a beanie when I was at the Coventry Live show where there was a box of them. I did see a chap came over wearing one, and his wife had given it to him for Christmas, and it looks rather good in the wild. I thought I was very pleased to see someone wearing one for reals.
I wore one yesterday whilst filming a car cave for the Late Break show, and it was snowing.
Mm.
Lightly snowing, you know, British snow. And I have to say, it was immensely warm. And as somebody who's follicularly challenged, hats are crucial at this time of year. Absolutely crucial.
Yes.
So bloody crucial. Honestly, Johnny, I can't tell you enough. So bloody crucial.
Well, I bought a flat cap on the Saturday, went home, showed it to my wife. She went, oh, no, I'm not sure about that. No, it ages you. And then my boy came in, and clearly he was just copying to try and gang up on me, because he went, oh, yeah, Dad, you look really old. And so there was general thumbs down in the house. But I was like, no, I like this. I think it works. And I'm going to wear it tomorrow to go to the Scramble. So I got up crack of arse to go out the house before everyone else was up, put my cap on before anyone could mock me. Off I went, got there really early. So on the sort of dual carriageway about 5 miles from Bicester, there's a Starbucks. So I pulled in there to get a coffee.
I know the one.
And it was 8 o'clock in the morning, so there's nobody else in there. And the bloke behind the counter, sort of jolly older chap, clearly just pleased to see a customer to give himself something to do. And he went, good morning, sir. And I went, good morning. And he went, are you off to play golf?
Oh, no.
And I was mortified because So it's, like, it's the hat, isn't it? It's the bloody hat. It's a golf hat. I mean, I don't think it is. It's a tweed cap, but yeah, apparently I looked golfy, even though I was wearing jeans.
We need to go Samuel L. Jackson spec and wear it backwards, maybe, and dress it
down. In the privacy of my own home, I did try wearing it backwards, and I just looked like an absolute sleeve.
But what, are you wearing an E17 jacket as well, or not?
Yes. No, I wasn't. I should do, maybe.
Yeah, you need to wear a wet look puffer, don't you? With some externally worn jewellery, I would say, over the top of the puffer.
Externally worn. Oh, I see what you mean. Like a big, like a chain that's over the jacket.
Chain over the jacket or over the jumper, which is a look very seldom seen now, unless done in irony, I would say.
Well, the other thing that I bought, at the same time as I bought the flat cap, I bought a roll neck jumper. I haven't owned a roll neck for a long time, and I think a chain over a roll neck is a powerful look.
It's very. I've been wearing roll necks all week, pal. I've been called Colin Firth and all sorts.
Again, this was met with slight disdain in our house, the roll neck, which bloody-mindedly made me want to wear it more, but it's really cosy in this kind
amazing.
Of weather.
Amazing. Don't let anybody take you down. Don't let anybody take the roll neck. And and when you drive around in a car with a roll neck on, you feel. And I was wearing some driving glasses at the time. I definitely felt more intelligent than what I really am. Definitely.
What are these? Your elegantly Scandinavian glasses?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good look. Actually, that's true. Roll neck and specs. That's architect. That's a Polestar look right there.
I might do that. Between now and the end of March, I might just wear the same outfit, cowl spec, same roll neck, same glasses, same coloured shirt or T-shirt. Just do it.
There's some people who do that, aren't they? They just sort of settle on a look, but an actual outfit, and just wear the same thing over and over again because it sort of streamlines your morning. Because you don't have to decide what you're going to wear. You know already.
Absolutely.
And you just crack on with it. And obviously you tweak it for the seasons, so you're not wearing a roll neck in the middle of summer, but you just kind of stick to one thing for the season.
There's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said
for
that.
No, I can see the appeal. I can definitely see the appeal. Just moving things on, because last week we attempted and failed to do some questions that people had put to us on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
And then I thought, I'll go back and I'll just dig them out. Unfortunately, because Instagram is an absolute twat of an app, we've left it a week now and I can no longer see any of these questions on our account. No, I've scrolled down through the notifications thing and they're not there. They were there and now you can't seem to get to them and I can't figure out how. So
to pull our trousers up with social media, don't we?
We do, yes. But some questions have been sent in to our Patreon account and to our email address, hello@smithandsniff.com. So I thought, because we keep saying we should do listener questions, I thought I'd pull out a few. And one of them is from a listener called David Marden, who asks, what's the most impressive car you've taken your kids on the school run with? So I presume he means like a borrowed car.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I picked up my son once from school in my electric dragster, which he really liked, and I really liked. I don't know if anybody else liked it, but I did. And I might have left some small 11s near a junction, actually not even trying, but it just did it. So there's that. One that got people talking was Morgan Three Wheeler.
Ah, yeah.
People wouldn't stop talking about it, and it's still one of my son's most fascinating cars. You know, just can't get over the fact it doesn't have any doors. So really, really like that. And then I did it in a replica Ferrari 250 GTO.
Oh, yeah.
The yellow one that has the modern, is it 456 running gear? Six-speed Manuel.
Yeah, was it 550?
Or 550, actually. That. It's 550 Maranello. So had that engine and that six-speed box, and it was a hellraiser of a car. And I did this, although it did smell more of petrol than any other car that I've driven. So you'd get out of it and just look around and just check for any naked flames or, I don't know, anyone doing a barbecue or anything. In case it just all went up.
Angle grinding nearby.
Yeah, so there's that. trying to think what else. There's been other... What about you?
I'd never had a driving school run. Because we used to live in London and the school was a walk away. And then the school here is a walk away as well. So, I picked up my boy from a classmate's birthday party one evening in the Bentley Mulsanne.
Oh, nice.
And he liked it because obviously he got to sit in the back as well. And, you know, it's very plush. But but a lot of the kids were sort of... I mean, it was dark, in fairness. You couldn't necessarily see it on a sort of dark street. But I thought it would attract a swarm of... I mean, they'd have been, what, 7 or 8 year olds at the time. But no, no one seemed that bothered about it. Just fine. I wasn't trying to impress kids' mates, but I just thought maybe it's sort of one of the most impressive cars that I've ever had as a borrowed thing. I mean, my kids, like my boy really liked it when I had a DB11. He thought that was cool. And an i8 as well, BMW i8, he thought was really cool.
Actually,
doors, but
i8 is fantastic. Wesson keeps asking me when I'm going to do the school run in a McLaren, because apparently him and his... A McLaren is held in almost the highest regard amongst him and his mates, his gaming mates.
Yes. It's interesting, isn't it? Because my boy is very much into McLarens. He thinks they're cool. I think mostly because of Hot Wheels rather than gaming.
Right. That's interesting.
But, yeah.
Does he watch any YouTubers? Any younger YouTubers?
He does, but he mostly watches gaming YouTubers. You know, they're just shouting about Minecraft. I don't think they necessarily show off, like, their cars or anything. I don't know if he's got any games with... I don't think so. He's still at that sort of age of doing, like, Mario Kart and stuff rather than, you know, Gran Turismo or anything. So, but, yeah, definitely he's aware of McLaren, and if he sees a McLaren, he'd be like, oh, you know, he'd be able to identify it from 20 paces as a McLaren rather than a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, which I suppose...
Lamborghini is held in high regard amongst the world. I think it's because it's so flamboyant, always colourful.
Exactly.
There is that. So I've got to up my game because I can't remember the last time I drove a brand new Lamborghini. It was a long time ago.
No, God, me neither.
Yeah. I'm not angling.
Well, you're angling a bit. I mean, why not angle? It's like it is sort of technically your job to drive new cars and speak about them in some capacity. But
yes.
I've not driven a McLaren for ages, come to that.
No.
Like, have you driven the...
I haven't driven the arterial... No, I haven't. I'd like to. They did contact me, and the dates I suggested they couldn't do, and I'm just terrible at logistics, so It's just I need to. Knowing me, it will be the floodiest time of the year again, and I'll borrow a McLaren.
Well, I mean, there's sort of various points. It seems to be snow keeps getting forecast this month, so why not book one in ASAP in the hope that it's absolutely blanketed in white and you can only do 7 miles an hour?
I'd very much like to do that. Two things I want to say is thank you to the person whose name I've totally forgotten, who DM'd me. Hang on, no, that's not professional. Let me actually find. Let me try and find them. Oh, no, I know who it is. I know exactly who it is. Jason, thank you. He said, I'm listening to your podcast here in China. I thought you could get your brother this fantastic little swan bonnet mascot. It's ugly as sin.
Ah, yes.
And sure enough, it's on eBay. He sent me an eBay link to a swan bonnet mascot, a very vintage one.
Oh.
For a pre-war car. £50 or near offer.
Now, somebody pointed out that we'd actually seen in one of our Goodwood videos, a car with a swan on it. And I think it might have been that flesh door thing we saw on the Cartier lawn a couple of summers ago.
Oh, yeah.
But we've had quite a few people sending in swan mascots.
Really?
I think there's a great groundswell of, yeah, we've had a lot of people have found that they are readily available, it seems. And there's quite a few people seem to be quite down with the idea that you put one on one of your cars. But
are swan people car people? Is this what we think?
Swan people?
Well, I don't know what.
Like, who's a swan person? I suppose your brother came out as a swan person. But
my brother came out with a vengeance. It was amazing. Just couldn't believe the enthusiasm.
Wait a sec. When and if your brother finds this B3 Passat that he seems to believe is his destiny,
yes,
what better than fitting a swan to it to really make it his?
Can you imagine if I did that in the middle of the night and he bought an immaculate car, and in his head he'd spent a fortune on it? He spent £3,500 on it, which to my brother is unholy amounts of money for a car.
I think a Passat wagon, the swan would look quite good on the roof.
On the roof?
Yeah.
Where the old-fashioned aerials are, right above the windscreen.
Exactly. Yeah, and then it's not, I mean, I suppose it's not in your line of vision. It's not a danger to pedestrians, generally.
No.
And it's sort of also, it's higher up, which kind of feels appropriate for a swan.
Would it not whistle at terminal velocity?
Yes. Yes, it would whistle horrifically. Somebody, I'll never find this now, someone did suggest to us that if you put a if you put a swan on your car, you should drill holes in it so it made a noise like a flute as you drove along.
Oh, so yeah, actually, the car becomes fluted.
I think it would make more of a noise like an ocarina, though, if you drove along with little holes in a swan. Don't you reckon? It's sort of, it's kind of high.
Or like those people that they dry their finger really well and then they rub it around the rim of a glass.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
always freaks me out in case the glass breaks and then they cut their finger terribly.
Oh.
So I can't watch it.
Don't you wet your finger to do that?
Oh, maybe I've got it all wrong. Over my tactics completely wrong for glass
either.
Rubbing.
That's, but you mean like a sort of like a very thin wine glass, like?
Yes, like, or a champagne flute. Which,
yes,
we've all met a few of those, haven't we?
Yes. I just had a flashback to when I was a best man at a wedding a few years ago, and I had to draw everyone to order to just announce that they should move through to the next room. So I tapped a very thin wine glass with a knife, and it shattered. It got everyone's attention, but I looked like an absolute bell piece. It's really embarrassing, just standing in glass as I went, would you like to get into the next room?
What you needed in a situation like that is a swan bone flute that you could have blown. And everyone would have gone, has that guy brought like a strange little instrument instead of banging on a glass? You go, well, I've got...
I would have happily been attacked by a swan at that moment because it would have distracted from the fact that I'd just broken a glass by being a dickwit. anyway, I've got another message from a listener.
Yeah.
A listener called Aaron or Aaron. I'm never quite sure on that one. Let's go with Aaron. He says, hey, guys, it's my 24th tomorrow, which makes me sad. Oh, precious child, you've got so much distance to run. You're all right there. He's actually got three questions.
That's you at the end of the show, though.
Oh well, no, he's got three questions rather than three things. But he says, "I've been listening to your podcast on Backloop again. It's made me feel happier. Specifically, the clown in the Bedford Rascal."
We should read that out again one day.
Yeah, well, I was going to do. I was going to do a Smith and Sniff Origins compilation show where we just pulled out all these sort of things that you know, people still refer to.
Mm.
Just so that if you were a new listener, you'd kind of get a little bit of a, like, where did Otsock come from and stuff. Anyway, that's a job for future me. But his question to you is, do you ever wish you could do another crash test video? I loved them as a kid.
Very much so. It was one of my favourite things we did on Fifth Gear. Was there a lot of
standing around when you did those? I imagine there was, because there's so much setup.
There was loads. There was one that I did, and I think it was with the new Honda CRV, and a lot of officials from Honda wanted to be present. And so we were told to turn up really early. And that was at Myra. And I remember I got very chummy with the chap that sort of ran the operation at Myra. And we talked all day about this, that and the other. He'd been there for a long time. And I probably told you, he gave me a very large print photograph, probably A3 size, of a Cortina T-boning a Citroen Visa with all the people in the background watching it and one guy covering his eyes because
he loved Visas so much.
Something like that, because in the early days of crashing they used the same Cortina to hit all the cars with.
Oh.
And they used to just put a new front end on it, so they used to just constantly order bonnets and wings and valances.
Yeah. I think the same was true at Thatcham. You know, the British Insurance, is it Association of British Insurers or something, that they have, Thatcham is where they assess the insurance category of a car.
Yeah.
And they do like low speed crashing to see how repairable cars are. Well, they certainly used to. I don't know if they do still do physical crashes, but I know they used to just have, you know, a Cortina or a load of Cortinas that they would duff into a car, because I've got a picture in a book somewhere of them running a Cortina into the back of a prototype Metro so that they could assess its repairability. But yeah, I think they just had sacrificial Cortinas to do it with, because I suppose it was, at the time, it's just like a very commonplace but affordable second-hand car.
Exactly. So,
yeah, and it's consistent, I suppose, if you use the same car over and over. Aaron's other question is for me. Says, what happened to the Top Gear Florida Special cars? And I think, because at the end of the show, we gave them away for people who'd lost their cars in the hurricane. And I think that's just what happened to them. I know, like, they didn't want, the charity that we were giving them to didn't want James's Cadillac for some reason. But I think we did off camera find somewhere to.
They didn't want it.
Yeah, they didn't want it. I don't know why.
That's a shame.
They wanted the other two. Yeah, maybe it's just because they went, look, it's, you know, people are really struggling here. They do not need a massive car with a huge V8. I can't remember, or it's just too knackered. But I think we did manage to give it away to somebody in the end, because it was, you know, the situation down there after Hurricane Katrina was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And it would, the original plan was to sell the cars, and then it was quite clear that that was not appropriate. So, yeah, we just gave them away. So, no, I don't know. They just disappeared into the system of, you know, trying to sort of find people who needed cars, I guess. Aaron's other, a third question is just, because he says, you guys made me laugh through some hard times and you made my childhood. I don't care if you reply. I just wanted to thank you for your careers and your podcast. Please don't stop doing it. Any advice for a 24-year-old?
Any advice from a 24-year-old?
So that's quite a big question, isn't it? Because I don't. The trouble is, that makes you precisely half my age, Aaron, and I feel like I'd just be some kind of terrible old fart going, well, you know, just enjoy every day. You don't appreciate it, but it is sort of, that's...
Give a bit more time. Give a bit more time to old people. That would be my piece of advice. Yeah. Yeah, because they've been there, and they've done it, and people forget that.
Yes, I suppose so.
Unless they're really miserable on the flutes, in which case don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, but also feel free to ignore the advice of old people, because, you know, they've done it. The mistakes are yours to make, and mistakes are generally things that you can learn from, so don't fear them. But yeah, all I can think of is, you know, that song Sunscreen by Baz Luhrmann?
Yes.
has that line in it that says, enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Never mind, you'll not understand the power and beauty of your youth until it's faded. That's all I can think of, is any advice that older people give to the young should be ignored.
We're not because, very good at this sort of thing, are we?
No, we're not. We're not very profound. But anyway, Aaron, thank you for your kind words and for your questions. I've got another question from a listener called Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Says he's followed us on Twixter for ages, but has only started listening to the pod recently.
Oh.
So he's been top and tailing it, listening to the latest stuff and then filling the void by going through the back catalogue starting at episode one. But he was heading out for a coffee with some friends on Thursday, didn't take the car. I stuck on the episode about Monty Don and his MOT failure purchases.
Oh, for cardening.
I don't even remember this.
It's for cardening.
The cardening, I think, yeah. And he filled his garden with MOT failure cars. I'd completely forgotten about this, but Michael's just listened to
it. I think he took the tyres off them and just let the wheel rims sort of bury troughs in the vegetable patch by doing just sort of like clutch kicks and he might have had a motorbike as well. I think we gave him a motorbike too instead of a rotavator. It was just basically a motorbike with no tyre on it.
Monty Don's MOT failure motorbike. Michael said, because he said he was listening to it for a short walk. There was a wheelchair user, it's more of a brisk roll. This wasn't my best idea, as I was chuckling away to myself as I rolled down the main road and I realised I probably looked a bit unhinged. But the idea of Monty redlining an old 535i made up for it. In future, I'll save it for the car or home. Michael wrote in was actually he wants to talk about unusual police cars.
Oh.
And he said, this time last year, I was in my specially adapted Ford Transit, although he admits it's more of a Tornado. He was doing the national speed limit on a dual carriageway when a Disco 4 on private plates came up behind me in lane 2. It was doing about 80 with its blues on.
Wow.
Was that unusual? I wondered if it was just a Walt on an illegal power trip. I don't know what a Walt is. I hope that's not a slur of some sort. But the D4 isn't exactly brand new or cheap to run, but it's a good point. Now,
and on private plates.
Private plates is very
That's
weird,
not royal. Is that monarchy?
Oh.
It could be motorcade, monarchy motorcade.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Oh, well, that would explain. Yeah, private plate, but it's got blues and it's going above the limit.
It's going, yes, mate. That one was going.
Oh, no. Princess Michael of Kent is in danger and off they go. Yeah. Because I was going to say, because I was then thinking about unusual police cars. And I think I've mentioned on the podcast before the seeing the Metropolitan Police's crack depreciation unit in a Nissan Maxima, a bug-eyed Scorpio, a Renault Safran, in convoy, all dark blue and all with the lights and sirens on, but you know, concealed. But I also once saw, I mean, this was years ago, this was like in the very early 2000s, but there was like a very early Discovery, like a Discovery 1, that was a police car, plain clothes.
Right.
And I was like, that's at least a 10-year-old car at the time.
That's just been found in the pound, hasn't it? That's been,
yeah,
from some sort of like drug dealer or wrong'un.
I know we have actual polices that listen to this because they've been in touch before to set us straight on when we were talking about those malfunctioning BMWs and about Volvos and things. But I'm curious, I know, I think I dimly remember reading that the police have extended the life of their cars now because cars last and because budgets are not what they were.
Mm.
But I don't know if anyone can confirm that. But it feels like they're extending the life to sort of, you know, 4 or maybe 5 years. And then there is just, like you say, stuff they find at the back of the pound and go, well, might as well carry on using that. I don't know. I wonder if Discoveries are considered sort of specialists for particular jobs and so they get a different set of rules about when they're disposed of. I don't know. Anyway, there we go. Thanks for your message and for your question, Michael. And we had one. This is not a question, but it just really tickled me. A listener called Felix says, hi guys, I used to work for Deliveroo in my hometown of Winchester, and one of my colleagues was a no-name full suspension mountain bike guy. He wore exclusively army surplus,
of course,
had a rusty as anything bike chain, and for security he wrapped two heavy-duty metal chains with padlocks over the frame that looked canal boat mooring spec. He also had an unnecessary amount of accessories and storage strapped to his frame and handlebars, meaning the bike looked like it had crashed through Maplins. But this is the bit of the
no-name full suspension bike guy.
Really, he really tickled me. He said he wasn't long-lived as a colleague. He received countless complaints from customers after delivery times averaged 45 minutes. I know, this is a lot of cold food, I imagine. This was due to a trifecta of the heaviest bike setup known to man, Winchester's sharp topography, and his less than excellent cardio / Siggy intake.
Oh my gosh.
But he was ultimately sacked. He was ultimately sacked for being caught cleaning, in inverted commas, his delivery box with a can of Lynx Africa.
He was cleaning his box with deodorant.
I don't... That's... I presume he wanted to, like, banish the food smells. He sprayed Lynx Africa into it. But can you imagine if you then, like, popped a pizza box in there? The pizza would be so horribly tainted with cheap teenage deodorant.
Can you imagine?
Fuck's sake.
Imagine the jet trail of no-name full suspension bike going, absolutely ladling it down the high street on a cold night. And then, just like when a very smart lady of a certain age walks by, there's usually a massive cloud of strong perfume. You've got Lynx Africa being left everywhere he goes. He's almost tying knots in the air with Lynx Africa, yes, around his local town or village. That's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. It's like, there used to be a teacher at my school who wore a perfume that I have no idea what it was, but it was like you could slice cubes of it out of the air as she walked past. It was suffocating.
With this fencing sword.
Exactly. A cricket stump.
I feel like, because I got a bit of a Bicester Scramble FOMO, admittedly, this year, because I couldn't make it. This time. Maybe next time. I was going to suggest to you that we have a no-name full suspension bike concourse event. I don't know if that's a good idea. We could invite... So, okay, yeah, look, if you want to turn up in your 911, 993 or your Clio 197 trophy, yeah, whatever, cool. But can you bring a really knackered mountain bike? And we could do a little cruise around the perimeter of the event.
Yes.
And everyone's got to try doing at least 3 cranks of a wheelie before falling off or going into the trees.
Yeah.
You know, like 10th gear, yeah, you could just standing on the cranks wheelie.
But I think just gently cruising the site, and people could get out of your way because they'd hear you coming because of the sort of like someone treading on cornflakes sort of sound of the unoiled chain going around.
Oh, yeah. One of us would have a Bluetooth speaker and we'd be playing the Levellers really loud.
Oh, yes.
Or Nine Inch Nails.
Our friends at the Intercooler had a display along, I was going to say, a lawn. I mean, it was sort of a strip of grass alongside one of the...
Sort of a lawn.
...internal roads. But it was, you know, it's still good. They got an impressive lineup of cars, including a McLaren Arterial Disease. And I did threaten them that we would set up shop at the next one across the way.
Oh, yeah.
On a rival strip of grass, with our own collection of far less prestigious stuff. But what if we set up with our lineup of no-name full suspension mountain bikes?
Can we have the first display of hypercars and no-name full suspension bikes together? I'd like that. I'd really, really like that.
One to think about for next time.
Yeah. Extra points for like knackered bushes, boingy suspension that just take out any effort from the
chain that's so dry it would actually disintegrate if you touched it.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely one to consider. For now, though, we should probably start to bring this one onto the slip road. Before we go, I have 3 things to tell you, though. They are one. Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Craven's Gates Show, in which Johnny takes an in-depth look at the access points onto land owned by the presenter of Countryfile. This week, he's crowbarring the padlock off the way into John's orchard while the man himself is away filming some links about llamas. If that's not to your taste, then there's always The Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there. What have we got this week?
Well, I got the one last week wrong because obviously I'm in charge of my own business. And that was a bit... So the one that I'd like you to watch was... was last week's, if you didn't see it, which right. is a really lovely resto mod, Datsun 240Z. That's quite divisive, but it's beautifully built, and there's some amazing touches to do with it. And it was. Yeah. I'm very pleased with the way that was filmed. So there's that one. And I'm pretty sure the Barn Find Capri that I talked about is coming out this time. And if it isn't, then it will come out the time after that. But I'm sure it is. So do you know what it is?
Are you doing a running joke that every week now you're just going to promote the Barn Find Capri? There is no Barn Find Capri. You're just messing with people.
I'll be completely honest. I've started the new year by not being quite as sharp with regards to my work and my diary as I should have. And we get so immersed in this wonderful conversation of Drizzle that we do that I actually forget that you're going to ask me this, so I don't look. And then when you do ask me, I go, I actually don't know. I'm just going along with it like one of the listeners because I'm a complete... But thing I will say to you is a couple of weeks ago, we totally forgot to bring the attention of you, the listeners, to a very well documented On That Side of Things done by none other
than
Harry Metcalf off of Harry's Garage, off of Barn Full of Cars, etc. And he, at 11:46 on his Fiat 500 resurrection video, and I am promoting his video. He does some good videos, but, you know, if he wants to promote me sometime, that's great. He actually says at 11:46, the engine on that side of things or something like that.
Yes, and I don't know. He does. We had a lot of messages about this.
Loads of you said, oh, my gosh, Harry's done an OTSOT.
Yeah.
And it's true. He has. And I can't believe how sharp everybody is, but also what it means to us.
Everyone pounced upon that immediately, didn't they?
It was straight away.
An absolute flurry of messages about it, which is excellent.
Also, so. Harry's done an OTSOT. It sounds like a children's book with something.
It does. It's about teaching kids to use the possum. Oh, Harry's done an OTSOT.
Harry went to the farm and he was allowed to play on the tractor because the farmer had shut it off and allowed him. But unfortunately, he did an OTSOT on the seat. And then that meant that he was never allowed in the farm again.
There we go.
Poor Harry. Sad face.
What a charming tale. Second thing I've got to tell you is that I have a new book out. It's called Boring Car Trivia 4, available as an ebook or a paperback from Amazon. Or you can get the paperback from our merch shop, where you should also go and have a look at our T-shirts and mugs and our new hats.
Yes.
And on that note, the... A new version of the merch song at the end of the last podcast featuring some excellent guitar jamming from Dylan, 15-year-old son of a listener called Stee. Went down really well. Lots of people saying, just make that the version of the song you play out with every week. So we will end the show again with the Dylan's jamming version of the merch song. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that the moon gets further away from the Earth every year.
What? It never comes back a bit?
No, apparently it gets 3.78 centimetres further away every year. I don't know how they're measuring
3.78 centimetres?
Yes. Call it 3.8, rounding up. But that's still, yes, it's getting a little bit further away from Earth every year.
We need to tow it back with a combination of a load of swans and also a local rescue of off-road experts with One Life Live It on there and just say, guys, we've got to tow the moon. Get your winches out.
Yeah, they should just chuck a load of ratchet straps around it and then give it some clutch slip.
They'll send one guy up in waders to go and put a lasso around it and then they'll attach it.
He's got a spacesuit on, but he's still got those yellow-tinted sort of gun-shooting sunglasses on underneath the helmet. I feel like this is the kind of thing you could use AI to generate a squadron of space swans with, like, special helmets on, flying to the moon to drag it back a bit closer so that the light doesn't get dim.
And a bobtail disco 2, please, as well, if that's okay.
Yes.
But just a load of steel cables robbed from a local suspension bridge.
One moon, drag it.
Yeah.
All right, well, we probably should stop now, but thank you ever so much for listening. We'll do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye, mate. Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Mugs, T-shirts, stickers. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. And now we do hats too. This might come as a surprise, but Smith and Sniff have merchandise. You won't believe your eyes. Smith and Sniff have merchandise. Sadly, we don't do pies, but Smith and Sniff have merchandise. One day we might sell ties. Smith and Sniff have merchandise.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.